Rolling.
This is the FedSoc Films Podcast,
where we continue the conversation sparked on film.
You want to know what freedom tastes like? It tastes like this beer.
Take one.
This is, in fact, the classic solution in search of a problem.
Action. That cannot help but be controversial.
Cut.
With expert discussion and analysis.
With the greatest legal minds on the topic today. The FedSoc Films Podcast.
It's a wrap.
Have you ever seen the optical illusion, my wife and my mother-in-law? Look at it one way, you'll get a young woman, but look at it another, and you'll get an old hag. Cryptocurrency is a little bit like that optical illusion. How you view it and how you regulate it depends in no small part on your perspective. Salutations, and welcome back to the FedSoc Films Podcast. I'm Ann Hartley, your undoubtedly redoubtable host. Together with the Regulatory Transparency Project, we made a film called Bitcoin Cowboys to explore developments in the regulation of cryptocurrency. I have here with me Alexandra Geiser to help explain this wild, wonky, and sometimes bewildering world. Welcome, Alexandra.
Hi, and great to be here.
Great to have you. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your work with crypto?
Yeah, so I am the Director of Regulatory Affairs at a Bitcoin-only company called River Financial. We offer brokerage, custody, and mining to our clients. And before that, I was the youngest ever executive secretary of the U.S. Treasury. I also spent time in the general counsel's office at Treasury. And previously, I was just a normal litigator at a big firm. I clerked for Judge Jennifer Elrod on the Fifth Circuit and then Justice Allison Eyde on the Colorado Supreme Court.
Wow. So you've really had a firsthand perspective from a number of different angles about cryptocurrency.
I have. Yeah. So I first heard about Bitcoin when I was in college, actually. So the fall of 2011, a friend wrote on my Facebook wall, have you heard about this? I know you're into economics. What do you think? And linked to the Wikipedia page on Bitcoin. And I sort of said, wow, like amazing if true. And at that point, as a good liberal arts student who would go on to get a law degree, I had no idea how to buy Bitcoin. And so didn't do so until much later. Obviously, if River Financial had existed then, I would have simplified the process for me and I'd be much richer today. But I've always taken a very academic interest in Bitcoin from a free market economics perspective. I think solving for inflation is quite a bit harder than it seems. And that is really the problem that Bitcoin takes very seriously. So when I was coming out of the Treasury Department, the chance to work in Bitcoin was really a dream come true. I knew I liked in-house lawyering and solving a lot of problems for one client more than solving one type of problem for a lot of clients like you do at a firm. And so it has been a great and very fun time here at River.
Glad to hear it. So I know there's a lot of misconceptions about cryptocurrency right now. Could you explain to us what exactly crypto is and how it differs from more traditional investments?
Yes. So I like to distinguish sort of four buckets of crypto. So people say cryptocurrency, and it's in some ways too broad a term to be helpful. So it's like saying financial instruments and meaning everything from a checking account to an FSA to a mortgage. Those aren't regulated the same way, and they're not designed to do the same things. So if we want to have a helpful and productive conversation about cryptocurrency, it's really nice to be able to clarify what we mean by that. So I like to think of two axes. One is currency versus not currency, and then the other is centralized versus decentralized. So in the decentralized currency quadrant, you have Bitcoin and really nothing else. In the decentralized not currency quadrant, you have DeFi or deregulated finance projects pretty broadly, as well as pre-merge Ethereum. So these people are really excited about the idea of decentralizing things, but sort of think that the idea of a currency is very jejune and boring. And they're here to do smart contracts and DAOs and things that are more interesting. Then in the centralized currency quadrant, you have two types. You have stable coins, which are centralized through a private company usually, and you have CBDCs or central bank digital currencies, which, as they sound, are centralized through a central bank. And then in the last quadrant, you have centralized non-currencies, which is, broadly speaking, altcoins or other cryptocurrencies. So a few years back, Dogecoin was the obvious example here. So typically you have a company that's behind it. You might have an initial coin offering. And this is sort of treated like a coin, but that's not usually the use case that the token is optimized for. It might be optimized for privacy or a joke or internal record keeping for a company. There are some interesting use cases there, but broadly speaking, the three uses of currency as a store of value, meaning medium of exchange and unit of account, are not what altcoins are trying to solve for.
So out of those four buckets, I'm curious, which one has been the most popular and which one do you think is the most promising?
Bitcoin has been the most popular, and there are sort of two schools of thought on this. One is that it's the oldest, and so it has first mover advantage. People in the other three buckets tend to think that. The other theory is that Bitcoin has taken really seriously the difficulty of designing a currency that can't be inflated. That is the age-old problem. It's a constant temptation. Whoever controls the currency wants to inflate it because it gives them more riches, at least temporarily. And so Bitcoin setting out to only ever have 21 million in existence, like, that really matters. The controls for adjusting the difficulty on the algorithm for how hard or easy it is to mine Bitcoin, that really matters. So I tend to think that the undercurrents of Bitcoin are really promising. And I think there are interesting and exciting projects that may come out of some of these other quadrants. There's a lot you can do with the idea of a blockchain or the idea of making a choice to centralize versus decentralize a system. There are pros and cons on each side. And so using cryptography to decentralize something does have some interesting use cases. But I think as far as talking about cryptocurrency or what the backbone of a fully digital financial product offering is going to be, I think Bitcoin is the clear winner.
Gotcha. Sounds like it's the same answer for both questions then.
I think so.
Well, then it's a good thing that we named our film Bitcoin Cowboys.
Exactly.
So in said film, we talked about confusion at the federal level over who exactly is in charge of crypto. Who are the different players here and how are they approaching the question of cryptocurrency regulation?
That question also depends on who you ask. The SEC is in the news a lot. This is the Securities and Exchange Commission. They regulate securities through both legislation and then a pretty famous Supreme Court case called Howey that generated the Howey test. And if you are a financial product, it's pretty difficult to pass the Howey test because typically there's a centralization issue. And so this is obviously very oversimplified. There's a reason that securities lawyers are highly compensated. But frequently, if you are offering a financial product that is using someone else's labor, there may be an argument it's a security that would then bring it under the purview of the SEC. The SEC, like most federal agencies, likes to have things under its power and is a little loath to say exactly where the lines are, lest they inadvertently box themselves in and give themselves too small a piece of the regulatory pie. So some cryptocurrencies, the coins or the tokens themselves may be classified as securities under the Howey test. Bitcoin is about as truly decentralized as you can be. I think it's really a stretch for anyone to say that it falls under the securities umbrella as defined by the Howey test. And this includes SEC Chair Gary Gensler. Bitcoin isn't a security. But some other things in the so-called cryptocurrency space, some of the other pieces of these buckets, maybe. I think there are easy cases and hard cases on that. But at least for the sake of argument, you would say the SEC should be regulating digital securities, just like it regulates other securities. Asterisk, it doesn't have legislative jurisdiction over digital securities. Those weren't contemplated in 1933 and 1934 in the Securities Acts. So I do think that that is a little bit of an open question in terms of interpretation and how strict of a constructionist you want to be on the text of those bills. But as a general rule, if you're reasoning by analogy, you would sort of say, well, if it, you know, quacks like a security, the SEC gets to regulate it. The CFTC is the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. They regulate futures trades, so on commodities. But this is different from regulating a commodity itself. So this was started, sort of the precursor to the CFTC was the Chicago Board of Trade. And this was state-based, and it regulated derivatives trading on commodities. This helps stabilize commodities markets. Obviously, farmers can't control when the sun shines or when the rain pours, and that can really affect the outcome of your crop. And so rather than having a pure boom and bust cycle, what derivatives and futures trades allow you to do is smooth out your financial future so that regardless of how your crop performs, you're going to get within a reasonably expected realm of payment. So very helpful. The CFTC today, same thing. So to the extent that a coin or a cryptocurrency is a commodity, that isn't quite enough to give the CFTC jurisdiction. It needs to be a derivative or a future or some sort of other product around those coins and offerings. So those are the two big ones that are in the news a lot. The other side is criminal enforcement. And so this comes into play kind of across the board. So both of those agencies may be involved, but you've got DOJ. IRS would like for you to pay taxes on your cryptocurrency gains or losses, as the case may be here. And then, you know, you kind of have the other, there may be a handful of other groups at the federal level, but those are going to be sort of your big ones. Treasury has several bureaus that also work on regulating cryptocurrencies. So these are FinCEN and OFAC. Both of them are anti-terrorism, counterterrorism, anti-crime groups that work to stop financial crimes. So OFAC issues a sanctions list. This is really more of a foreign policy tool than an economic tool. You can't send Bitcoin to someone in Iran. It's sanctioned. So that's on OFAC. And then FinCEN is the Financial Crimes and Enforcement Network. It works to track money laundering and other kind of related financial crimes. So there, again, the point is, well, actually, we, for better or worse, we have a lot of regulations for a lot of different types of activity, different types of financial products, and they map reasonably well onto the world of cryptocurrency. There are definitely some questions, there are some tough calls, but I think there's a misconception sometimes that it's so new. And I'm more of the opinion that it's pretty hard to invent something completely different. And that reasoning by analogy, again, why you hire a lawyer, it will get you pretty far.
Gotcha. So it sounds like it really does depend a little bit on your perspective, what you think cryptocurrency is.
I would push back on that. I think it's knowable, it's determinable what cryptocurrency is. Again, if there's a really tricky question, like Ripple's XRP has been in the courts for a long time over whether it's a security. well, okay, you've got a lot of lawyers who are making good arguments on both sides. Maybe it's a close call under the Howey test and some of the other securities precedent. But the idea that this is so unknowable, and to use the, you know, the fable of the elephant, right, where, oh, if you touch its leg, you think it's a tree, and if you touch its tail, it's a rope. Cryptocurrency doesn't actually work like that. It has different coins have different characteristics, and you can say with some measure of certainty, Bitcoin is really decentralized. It works like a commodity. It works like a coin. There are maybe, or a currency, there are maybe some nuances there because it's digital, but it's not quite as hard as the seat where you sit really determines how the thing looks.
Gotcha. So is it the different buckets tend to fall under the purview of different regulatory agencies?
Not necessarily. I would say it's a little bit more like building blocks. So if you have something like Bitcoin, which is really decentralized and is a currency, arguably there isn't a clean bucket at the federal level where that fits, other than in certain use cases. So if you have a security that is based on Bitcoin, which is easy to hypothesize, right? So you could have something that looks like cloud mining that is a security. You could have shares of a Bitcoin company that are publicly traded. That would look like a security, right? Coinbase went public in 2021. So that's a security, right? Those things fall under the SEC. Taxes on all of these things are going to fall under the IRS. We in the US, we split up our regulatory bodies based on function, not on form. And so that to me is still really helpful in the world of crypto is, well, what's the function? Is the function of this to be a security and an investment opportunity? Well, then we know the bucket that it goes in. Right. And so it's less the shape of the thing and more the use of the thing that determines who regulates it. So I think, you know, CBDCs, if the Federal Reserve came out with its own digital currency, it would presumably be the regulator of that. I don't know that that means it should regulate stable coins, which are issued by private companies, and in some sense function more like a money market, in some sense function more like a currency, right? So there are some tricky questions, but I think this is, again, there are plenty of people who would quibble with how our financial regulation is set up. It's not like we sat down and planned it all in one day. These are, you know, it's sort of hodgepodge and things have been added on and you're always responding to the last crisis, right? So Dodd-Frank changed things. The savings and loan crisis back in the 80s changed things. So all of this has moved and morphed. I don't know that you would per se design the system that we have today like this if you got to sit down in 2022, look at all of the financial products, look at cryptocurrency, look at any number of things. I don't think you would map it this way. But seeing as it's been mapped this way, I think that there are pretty good estimates for where things should land.
Gotcha. That does sound absolutely fascinating, if a little bit complicated. So it seems like with all these players in hand, they all seem to be in agreement that there needs to be some sort of federal regulation of crypto. Do you think that's the case?
I don't think that's the case insofar as you phrase it, right? And so to me, you wouldn't regulate somebody's mortgage on a vacation home in the same way that you'd regulate their checking account. Right? They're different financial products. They're designed to do different things. Similarly, I don't think you should regulate Dogecoin the same way you regulate a DAO or the same way you regulate Tether or a stablecoin. Right? And so from that standpoint, I think saying federal regulation of cryptocurrency is in some ways a nonsense sentence, right? I do think that agencies should quit regulating by enforcement and should have some courage and promulgate regulations, go through the APA process, tee it up, see if you need fresh legislation or if you can regulate based on your existing statutes, right? That to me is what's really missing and is really crippling the industry. Last year, you saw both Coinbase and BlockFi try to offer yield products. So products where you could stake your cryptocurrency and earn a yield or interest, essentially. So very similar to how a checking account works, except that it's a little different when you don't have FDIC insurance and when transactions are irreversible, at least in Bitcoin, right? Coinbase went the ask permission route, and they were very compliant with the SEC. They gave them everything that was asked for. And ultimately, the SEC said, no, you can't offer this. And by the way, cease and desist immediately. And BlockFi went a little bit more the ask for forgiveness route and ended up in the exact same place. I think that is a huge problem and is very anti-American. We don't live in a country that says, well, I'm not going to tell you the rules, but you can be sure that if you break them, you're going to get punished. That isn't the rule of law. So I think that agencies need to be able to look themselves in the mirror, make tough calls, and go through the process, right? We have a pretty extensive and well-documented way to make regulations. It's not clear to me why cryptocurrency can't go through that normal process.
Gotcha. You got a strong argument right there. With all the instability and everything that's been happening lately surrounding crypto, what do you think has been going on there? Have regulators missed some warning signs?
Absolutely. I think fraud is fraud is fraud. Fraud has been illegal since the common law. And so I think that this has been a big issue. I'll pick on the SEC a little bit more. They piled on, just like the Southern District of New York and sort of everybody else on FTX, once it was discovered that FTX was very fraudulent, essentially by one of their competitors, right? And so this, to me, is the problem, is the SEC has spent all of these resources blocking a Bitcoin ETF, persecuting Coinbase over its yield product, and litigating against Ripple and XRP. Meanwhile, FTX was on a feel-good tour of DC, shaking hands, donating millions, and nobody thought to check the books, right? You don't need unified federal regulation to tell you you have to keep track of your clients' assets. You don't need systematic federal regulation to tell you that you can't defraud your clients, right? And so this, to me, is really a problem when we look at FTX and say, oh, if only we had had some sort of rule that had indicated that, like, lying, cheating, and stealing are bad. Well, no, like, we all know that. And in fact, the laundry list of indictments against Sam Bankman-Fried indicates it is illegal. It was illegal. It's always been illegal, right? And so I think what we have right now is, again, in order to make sure that agencies aren't preemptively restricting their piece of the pie, they recognize that this area involves quickly evolving technology. They know they can't keep up, right? And so they don't want to accidentally cut their own leg off in terms of their ability to regulate a space because they moved too soon. The problem is they are focused on edge cases and close calls. They're regulating by enforcement, and it's chilling the innovation in the industry by honest, hardworking actors. Meanwhile, fraudsters in the space, and there are fraudsters in the space, are getting away with taking Americans' money and sometimes getting caught, but not always, right? And so I think that is really a problem when you have a regulator say, well, I want to regulate more. Well, okay, but have you done a good job regulating what you already have? And I think the record, unfortunately, is no. So I am loath to give regulators more power to continue to focus on edge cases and spend resources poorly instead of going after fairly obvious fraudsters.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds like a lot, honestly. I feel like I've learned a lot about cryptocurrency today. So thank you, Alexandra, for joining us today for another episode of the FedSoc Films podcast. Before we let you go, I do have one final question. What would you say to someone who looks at FTX and the uncertainty surrounding crypto regulation and goes, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole?
I think that's fine. I think Americans have gotten a little too used to saying, oh, I don't understand that, but somebody else must be so much smarter than I am. Surely it's a good investment. No, listen to your gut. If you don't understand something, I don't think it's a good idea to put your money into it. This is part of why I work at a Bitcoin-only company. I understand Bitcoin. I don't understand everything else that operates in the cryptocurrency space. So I think it's perfectly reasonable for investors to have different levels of risk tolerance. And I think, unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, there's really no substitute for doing your own research and getting your own gut check.
Nothing like a little common sense.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Alexandra.
Thanks so much.
Benjamin Franklin was onto something for sure.
Yes.
Thank you, folks, for listening in. You can find our film, Bitcoin Cowboys, on our YouTube channel or at fedsoc.org. That's FEDSOC.org. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. That's a wrap.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.